Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. I am Joker, and today I'm going to be doing the AMA, the Ask Me Anything. And I thought it'd be a fun way because I have a lot of you guys asking me questions about me, and it's very hard to individually answer them. So I put up the AMA on my, what do they call it, the community page, I guess. You guys answered, or you guys asked questions. I tried to take a lot of the top selected or the most thumbed up ones. And this might be something I do every, I don't know, quarter, like once every 3 months or so, just so you guys can, I don't know, learn a little bit about me or whatever. I don't have any cutaways or overlays here. I'm just going to look at the, at my little form here that I made of your questions. I'm going to answer them. And then if this is something that you would like to do going forward, again, I'll have something up in a couple more months where you can watch it. You're So Gay says, when is your next collaboration, perhaps with Pop, TBYS, Human, Casual Bachelor, Sandman, or Coach Greg Adams? I don't really do a lot of collabs. I obviously went on Fresh and Fit, and I've been on with Coach Greg Adams. I think we did one, and I've been on Donovan Sharp's twice now, I think. And they've invited me to go out to Vegas with them to do some thing they're doing out there. They have Donovan Sharp happened to mention it while I was at Fresh and Fit. Donovan Sharp stopped by. I think he either did something the night before or was going to do one the next night, and he came a little bit early and we hung out for the evening. We all went out to dinner. We had a really good time. I don't mind doing collaborations with people. I don't know. Like, I am a little bit of a recluse. I'm not the type of guy that really goes out and talks to a lot of people. I kind of tend to do my own thing, and I kind of stay squirreled away. So I like doing my videos. I'm actually a surprisingly private person. So were you to know me in real life and my bus, say, was parked in an RV park next to you, I would be very polite and I would wave hi. And you'd never hear my music too loud, and you would never know I really existed unless you saw me coming or going. I'm just kind of a private person. So if they ask me, I'm always willing to kind of go out and help other creators, but I'm just kind of a private person. That being said, if you guys haven't and you are viewers or have been of mine for a while, I would like you to please subscribe to my channel. I'd like to get at least, hopefully, about 500,000 subscribers, because then my channel's big enough I can start reaching out to bigger YouTubers. I can start reaching out. I'd like to do, at some point, I'd like to get an interview where I can interview Jordan Peterson, maybe where I could interview Tim Pool, or maybe get on Tim Pool's show. I'd like to get myself out there a little bit more so we can get men's issues talked on more channels and get more people into the manosphere. Inverse Lord says, what happened to your backstory video about working at a gentleman's club in Carolina, as well as some other videos now missing from your channel? So when YouTube marks a video as not suitable or demonetized, once you have enough of those on your channel becomes at risk for being completely demonetized. So what I did is I went through and I actually removed videos that had been demonetized. Because it's really important that I stay monetized. The big reason is, yes, some of you said, oh, you're just wanting money. Well, let's face it, if you did, you know, an hour's work and you wanted to make $100 and you could maybe skip a couple of words or maybe phrase things differently and get paid $100, you would like that versus getting demonetized and maybe making $10 or $20. So there is a point where if I can keep my stuff monetized, it allows me to do this as my primary job, where I don't have to go back to doing a 9-to-5. And then if I can do this from the road, that allows me to also do my other channels, The Unknown Adventure, and keep up on Odd Man Out, which I haven't because I've been working a lot. So yeah, I do want to stay monetized so that I can do this as a career. The other thing is I've had a lot of people, a surprising amount of people, that have said to me, hey, I came across your channel because I was listening to Jordan Peterson. I was listening to Geeks and Gamers. I was listening to The Quartering. I was listening to insert this channel here. And you came up next on autoplay. And that's how I heard your videos for the first time. Well, you get autoplayed or you get recommended on the home channels by being monetized and by being green And so that's one of my goals, to kind of so that more people join us in here and we can save more men from making terrible mistakes and getting in bad relationships and maybe being depressed and maybe getting married. If I can save some guys from that, that's a win. Okay, I have to say this. It's spelled A-N-A-L space E-Y-E-S. Analyze, analyze, and then analyze, and then analyze. I have to say it like that because of YouTube. Can you list all of the equipment and software you use to produce your videos? What are your top five favorite albums? Okay, so the equipment that I use, what I'm being filmed on right now is a Pixel 4a camera, which is either, I think, one or two generations ago. And usually I record myself on a 2A. My 2A, the battery is really struggling on it, so I had to replace it. But this is the first video I'm actually recording on my Google 4a phone. Normally it's on my Pixel 2a or my Pixel 2 phone, which has been all my other videos. So this is the first on this one. So I use a phone. My cell phone is a camera. And it's actually in selfie mode. And that way I'm actually talking to a picture of myself. So that way I can make sure to remind myself to look at the camera and things like that. The microphone, this is a Shure microphone. I think it's the 7B. A Rode Podcaster set up here with it's a Rodecaster Pro, and for my editing I use DaVinci Resolve 17, which is free, and for audio I use Audacity, which is also free. So really the only thing that cost me anything was this microphone, which two gentlemen actually donated big chunks. Because I was mentioning I wanted to upgrade my equipment. One gentleman donated enough for the microphone. Another donated enough for the Rode Podcaster Pro, I guess they call it. And so, but with all your donations that you guys have sent in, and I'll get back to that in a second. I do want to say thank you guys because of your great donations, I've been able to buy my mother a laptop. And this is the, which one is this? The Asus G14 or G15? I forget. It's last year's model, but it was a really good deal. And you guys don't have become between watching here on this and donating over on my PayPal or going to betterbachelor.locals.com. You guys are great, and all that allows me to do good things for my family. Like I got my father a couple of really nice, like 6-foot-tall, floor massive chests for his tools. And now his tools and some of my tools and my grandfather's tools are all in one tool cabinet. My dad doesn't use them much anymore because of his Parkinson's and his dementia, which is actually Alzheimer's. But he's very pleased to know that it's neat and his tools are all organized. Then he does go out and try to tinker with them a little bit. So thank you guys all for that. So really, it's a Rode Podcaster Pro. It's a Shure microphone. I think that's what this one is. SM7B or something like that. It shows you how much I pay attention to this stuff. And then my phone and everything else is free. But when I first started, I used about a $60 microphone that was a USB mic that went straight into the computer. So really, if you guys want a podcast or do video cast or do YouTube, if you have a good phone, it'll work, or a good camera. And you can use a $60 USB mic that goes straight into the computer, use Audacity to record it, and use your phone. And then I just connect my phone to the computer and transfer the video file over. And then I drop that, plus the audio file, plus all my other little things that I've made for layovers and all that, into DaVinci Resolve 17. And then I watched a couple of YouTube videos on how to do that, and off we go. Let's see. Oh, and my top favorite albums. So I like anything by Chopin, Mozart, Beethoven, top like their greatest hits. Any of those albums are good, or some mellow jazz when I'm kind of taking some downtime. Metallica, Master of Puppets, probably one of my favorite old school rock albums. I have some really great memories to that album. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, same thing. Also The Wall, The Wall Part 1 and Part 2. Yeah, I could take either one by Pink Floyd. NWA, Straight Outta Compton, Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, and any EDM. I'm not much of a like specific album anymore. I'm just kind of like a genre. So if you played Tool, and then behind that came Perfect Circle, and behind that came Soundgarden, and behind that came Nirvana, like that'd be a good playlist for me. Dirty Towel asks, I am a 17-year-old female, and all I've ever wanted is a family and to settle down. I'm extremely traditional in some aspects of life and very introverted. How the heck do I tell a guy my age this without scaring him? Obviously, I'm way too young currently, but in a couple years, I really want to have a family. I know a lot of guys don't want to because of the looming threat of getting divorced and child support. I know this isn't about me, but there are a lot of young people, both men and women, that I think will learn from this answer. When you get to be 19, 20, 21 as a young woman, date up. Date, if you're okay with it, you'll have a better chance dating a guy that's maybe in his 30s. Reason being, men do not start their lives, their desire to have a family, because they have to support, they have to provide, and men really don't get on that track until they're 30. So either A, keep yourself conservative and just go through school if you're going to do school and date guys that are a little bit older, or wait yourself until you're 23 or 24 and then look for a guy that's maybe 28 or 30 or 32 that is ready to settle down. Just make sure that he's legitimate and he's not just saying something to get you in the sack, because a lot of guys will lie and manipulate to do that to you. Mobzilla 101. I'm about to go to college in a few months. Any tips or specific videos of yours I should watch? Watch anything on Title IX videos that I've talked about. My advice, do not date college women. Do not date college women, because in the college system right now, if a woman accuses you as a man of doing wrongdoing, it's a kangaroo court. You don't get to represent yourself. They will just have a hearing and they will kick you out of the college, and that's it. And you lose all your money and you will lose any credits that you had towards your education. So go ahead and go to college. And if you want to date, just date somebody that is not in college. And I think you'll be okay. And study and worry about women when you get to be way after college. Because I mean, even at 48 now, like I can date easier now at 48 than I could at probably 25, 27. Honestly, it's easier now. Alfredu, I believe. Hey, Joker, at 48 years young, what keeps you motivated? That's tough. What keeps me motivated in the gym is looking like a pillow or having my clothes starting to fit tight. So I'm recently going back to the gym and trying to get back in shape. As far as life, though, I mean, if you think about it, even at 48, I plan to live to be 100. That's kind of my goal. And I think with modern technology, and if I keep myself healthy and stress-free and I continue to eat well, hey, there's a shot at it. So maybe I'm close to literally the midpoint in my life. That means I got 50 years left. Well, working hard, finding projects like building this bus. My next project will be getting this bus on the road and touring the country. Maybe doing something where I do live interviews from the road or a meeting with other creators. It's going to be buying a plot of land and maybe building myself a cabin, maybe hiring somebody to help me build an A-frame. But that building a property out kind of that's going to be on solar and well water, and I'll have a compost toilet, something that if the grid goes down tomorrow, I'll be self-sufficient where I can start hunting for my food and maybe have a greenhouse and be like completely off grid. That would really be a dream. And once I get that done, then it's going to be traveling the world some more. Once the bug goes away, I'll be traveling the world some more. There's always something to look forward to. There's always more knowledge. There's always something more interesting that you don't know about. There's always something to keep you going. So I think as long as you find something that you're passionate about and then go after it. And the minute you kind of feel like, okay, I've kind of conquered it, I feel like I've got it done, I feel like I've got it figured out, move on. Like, just move on to your next project. Always have something to do and challenge yourself. Whether it's, I started with a 3-day fast one time, and then I did a 5-day fast, and then I did a week-long fast, and then I did a 2-week-long fast, and then I did a 3-week-long fast. My longest fast is, I think, 21 or 23 days. I don't remember exactly, something like that. It's just, what's it like to not eat for 3 weeks? Try it. What's it like to work? Do 2-a-days at the gym every day? Can I work through the soreness? Can I change my diet and maybe crash, lose 5 or 10 pounds? Can I gain 5 or 10 pounds? There's always something cool to, like, just try things. Anything you're curious about, read about it, learn about it, and then do it for yourself. And then you may disagree with what somebody tells you. Just like when I say, hey, you maybe don't want a date. Maybe some of you do. Go try it. And then afterwards, you'll say, boy, I'm glad I didn't listen to that guy and I did it for myself. Other ones of you may say, man, I shouldn't have bothered dating. It was a waste of time. But, you know, here I am back in the fold of going my own way. It's up to you. Just, you have to find something. And I always have something to do. Always. Let's see, the Crimson Capsule. Would you be interested in getting a bunch of guys together for a trip to Thailand whenever that's possible again? I've been living in near Chiang Mai for 12 years and run a resort. I also sometimes organize motorcycle trips. The north is perfect for it. I know all the best places in Thailand and speak the language. It's not even about the money. I just think it would be amazing to hang out with you and a few like-minded guys. I loved Chiang Mai. I spent as much time in Chiang Mai as I did around Bangkok and some of the other cities. I took the train. Because I think you can take a flight up there and it's about the same price as the train, but I wanted to take the train. It was like, I don't know, 10 hours. I forget how long. It was a really long train trip, but I got to ride through Thailand and you get to see a lot of the rural areas, rural is the best way to put it. And you can see people living pretty close to the ground, people going and having their own rice paddies and their own food. And like, it's really, really cool. Chiang Mai itself is a cool little city. It's kind of has this big, if I remember correctly, it's like this big square where they have a main road that kind of goes around in a square. And I spent like 2 weeks there. I went up to some temples. It was like an hour and a half north. I rented a motor scooter. I think it came to like $6 a day from a very nice gal. And it only went about 40 miles an hour, but It was great fun. And there was a great little hostel there. I forget the name of it. But I definitely plan to get back to both Thailand and the Philippines. And I'd like to come to Chiang Mai. So I'll let you guys know where I am as I'm traveling. And if any of you say, hey, if I say, hey, I'm going to be in Dallas or I'm going to be in this area and you guys want to get a group together and or just one of you, hey, we'll go have a cup of coffee or a beer and shoot the gab and, you know, just reach out and let me know when I say I'm going to be somewhere. Self-loathing gives me life says, what's your take on male virgins in their 20s? Should they just try to get rid of it as quickly as possible? Is there something wrong with them? Okay, there's nothing to get rid of. I mean, if you're talking about getting rid of your virginity, like it's not a thing. We were talking about this on the interview that I did on Fresh and Fit. 30% of men are virgins is it 26% of men are virgins until their 30s now. It happens. Like if you're a younger guy, the women that are in their 20s and they're chasing guys that are older, that maybe are a little bit ahead, have their own car, have their own job, have their own money, have a little bit more exciting life, maybe have their own apartment, where younger guys are either still in school or maybe splitting an apartment with a couple other guys or may not have their own car or whatever. It's not a big rush. I'll tell you this, get some good quality lotion. Go take care of business yourself, wherever and however you want to do it. You're 80 to 90% of the way there as far as what it feels like with a woman. Now, Are they more exciting? Is it nice having some bobs to grab onto and someone to interact with and look in their eyes and the moaning and the noise? Yeah, sure, of course, that's nice. But it's not something that I would say to be foolish about or make mistakes. To be honest with you, I don't think it's anything you should rush to get rid of. Don't make it a thing. Like, don't make it a thing. Just live your life. Get your best education that you want. Go get into a trade school. Go learn. Go start your job. Start making money. Start investing that money. Make sure you don't get it yourself into debt if you can help it. Get yourself a little car to get you from A to B if you need it, or if you are in, say, a foreign country where you use more public transit. Make sure you have a good metro card and you can get wherever you need to go. Focus on yourself. Focus on the gym. Focus on being healthy, focus on eating healthy, focus on things that are going to make you more productive in your future. When you get to be later in your 20s or maybe even in your early 30s, if you're good looking and you're successful and you've been hitting the gym, or even if you're not good looking, but if you at least hit the gym, you've got a little bit of muscle, you look pretty good as far as that goes, and you've got a good job and you're comfortable talking to people, get rid of it then. Like, worry about it then if you want to, but it's not something you got to freak out about. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I have been in this bus, working on this bus. I haven't been on dating apps for 3 years. You know, I have broken this because I did have those ladies sitting on my lap when I was in Miami, if you watch the Fresh and Fit thing. But there was a point in time where I said, like, the only human being I've had contact with was like my mom and my dad while I visited them. It's no big deal. Like, later on in life, you might go 2-3 years without it. Like, when you've got other things that you care about, don't make it a priority. It's not that because here's the thing, like, your first time's going to probably be a minute if you're lucky. And, and if you don't go with it very often, it's always going to be kind of quick. So don't put any stress into it. Haley Angel says, how can we help improve on implanting new standards to possibly fix what Western women and men are becoming? All you can do is be a good person yourself and vote with your votes and vote with your money. So if Coca-Cola decides to go woke, don't buy any more Coke, no matter how much you like it. If Delta Airlines decides to do something woke, or if they say, hey, you need to have a vaccine passport to be able to shop here, vote with your dollars and say, forget it, I'll go to a different store. It may be inconvenient, but do it. And if enough people vote with their dollars, these companies will realize their error of their ways and they will correct it. I don't think you're going to, just don't participate in all the craziness. Like, back out of the craziness, just do what's right for you and spend your money where it matters, vote how it matters, and, you know, keep your head down low. I mean, you can speak out against things that you don't like, but I don't think you're going to be able to go against the crazy outrage mob. You can speak out against it, but then they just come for you. And I'm not on social media. So in my everyday life, like, I don't see any of it. So I'd say just vote with your dollars and vote with your votes and keep your head down. And I think they'll go after each other after a while. Let's see. Sean E. says, who's the real Donovan Sharp? Did he have some type of civil ceremony with his girlfriend, Devin? And is she now his de facto wife? And why doesn't he want to talk about it honestly? Let's see if Better Bachelor has any guts. I don't know anything personally about Donovan. I don't care about personally anything Donovan. Donovan's life is Donovan's life. I didn't even know the name of his girlfriend, like Devin. I didn't even know that. I watch a couple of his shows. I'm busy. I don't even get to do videos every single night I want to because I wipe myself out at the gym and I get tired and I got other projects I'm working on. Look, Donovan's always been nice to me. Every time we've interviewed, and I met him when he was down in Miami, we had a great evening out together. He's a down-to-earth guy. I think he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's a straight shooter. I don't know what's come out against him and I don't care. He's always been kind to me and I think he's a good guy, and I'm just not into the, like, he said, she said stuff. Like, you know, I judge people on who they are to me and on their character. I just don't know about the rest of it. I know somebody in some video was trying to prove that he was, I don't know, married or something. Don't know, don't care. That's just how I am. I'm Donovan's been good to me. Muzzle Flash says, hi, Joker. Do you consider yourself a part-time prepper? Kinda. Like, but not really. Like, when the bug was coming, I bought 6 months worth of food for myself and my family, so we didn't need to go out in public until we figured out how bad things were going to be. I like right now, I'm running on a whole 100% solar power. I have a 50-gallon water tank. I have a, you know, fridge that keeps my foodstuffs cold that runs off my solar. I like, you know, if things went south, I'd have maybe a month of water and food until I needed to find something, but I'm in a bus, so I could go drive around until I ran out of diesel, and then I'd kind of be in problem. But yeah, I probably keep a home down in the south somewhere, either Texas or Florida, maybe Arizona, so the winters I can spend down here, and then I plan to have someplace up north that in the summertime I can go enjoy the mountains and creeks and pine trees and all that good stuff, and more than likely I'll end up settling up somewhere up north. Because wood stove and all that good stuff. I'm pretty good. I'm from Buffalo, New York originally, just south of there. So I'm used to real cold weather and a lot of snow, so that wouldn't bother me. Ibn Khaldun. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Ibn Khaldun. Do you speak any foreign languages? How well and how many? You're mistaking me for someone that is non-American. I'm an American, so I'm an idiot. I speak French and like maybe two dozen words in Spanish. I took French when I was in school. So j'ai étudié français pour trois ans de l'école. I took French for 3 years while I was in school. I can get away with it. Like when I went into a French restaurant, I was able to order with a halfway decent accent where he didn't like give me the stink eye. I did okay. Now, would I really be okay if no one around me spoke English and I was stuck in France? I'd probably be okay enough to survive. In Spanish, kind of the same, but less so. I'm really studying, or would like to study. I'm so busy with everything I got going on. I'd really like to study Spanish because I would like to do South America. And one thing I learned when I was in Peru is that when you're in the kind of the tourist areas, they know some basic English. But even surprisingly, like in Cusco, which is a smaller area than Lima, which is their capital city, I think it's capital city. When I was in Lima, they spoke less English in Lima than they did Cusco, because Cusco was a kind of a touristy area, where in Lima, like in the heart of Lima, it's not tourist, that's just a big city. So I found that I had to use my Spanish a lot more in Lima than I did in Cusco. And then when you got on the outskirts, like we did, we went from the Amazon and we went along some Incan trails for about 80 kilometers. I think it was 85 kilometers in about 5 days. So we were really moving along. We met a lot of rural people, and some of them spoke Spanish and some of them spoke the Incan's native language. I think that's what it was. Our guide had to translate for us. And if I'm wrong, I'm terribly sorry for getting that wrong. But I know what he was speaking was not Spanish. And then I would hear him translate to or somebody else in Spanish, and then he'd translate to us in English. So he was speaking a third language, and I think it was whatever the Peruvian's native tongue was, which was not Spanish. I think the Spaniards came, what was it, in 1400s, 1500s, something like that. So they had a language that was theirs before then. So anyway, Spanish. Last one, Stephanie A. says, I want to know this from you since you worked in a gentleman's club. Is it possible that you are attracted to low-class women, and that many guys' problems are linked to being attracted to those kind of girls? No, I don't think most men, if there's a difference, let me back this up a little bit. There's a difference. You can look at a woman and say, I am physically attracted to her, or her face is beautiful. I am attracted to her that way. And then she opens her mouth and she's a garbage can. She's like a horrible human being. That does not stop a guy from saying, many men, and especially when they're younger, this doesn't stop a lot of guys from saying, I'd probably still sleep with her, yes, because we're driven by testosterone and the man downstairs. As you age, that goes away to a huge degree, to where it actually is the opposite. And once you get older, usually young to mid-30s, guys are like, no, I'd really like a nice woman who is not a horrible human being. But if they saw a very physically beautiful woman, they'd still say, oh yeah, I'd probably still sleep with her, but I wouldn't take her home to mom. This wouldn't be the type of woman I date. So I think when a lot of men, especially when they're younger, they're not worried about finding a girlfriend. They're not worried about finding love. They're not worried about finding forever. They're not looking for Miss Right. They're looking for Miss Right Now. So they will make dumb decisions when it comes to women. They will be with easy women. They will be with promiscuous women. That changes again when they get older. The type of woman a man wants to marry or date or get serious with is kind of the good girl, or the girl that hasn't been with all the guys, the girl that isn't the troublemaker, the girl that isn't low class. And when I mean low class, I'm not talking about income or low class economically. I mean low class, like not a very good person, that doesn't have good manners, that doesn't take care of herself, things like that. So I think that changes. So I know a lot of younger women and guys both struggle, especially in your 20s, because young men are like, hey, you know what? I'd really like a great girlfriend, and all these girls are chasing after the bad boys, and all the bad boys are just, you know, sleeping with the good girls. And guys are kind of left on the sideline. And same thing for good women. They're left on the sideline. Somehow the good guys and the good women need to find each other. Like I say, needle in a needle stack. It's not that easy to do. Guys, I didn't put a dating profile together today for you. I just thought I'd do a straight shot from the hip here as for my AMA. Let me know if you like this. Thumbs up if you like my AMAs. Leave a comment down below if this is something you'd like to see me do. Or if you just find it boring, we're like, nah, dude, just read the stories. We don't really care that much about you. Just let me know. And this will be the last one. Guys, if you want to support my work, links are below as always. If you have, thank you very much. And the best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe, and join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. 16, almost 17,000 people over there. Great forums, lots of great memes and discussions and great stuff like that. So join us over there, and you can always support me over there as well. Guys, that's it for me. This is Better Bachelor. I am Joker, and I will see you next time.